Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to this special bonus episode of Book Talk for Book Talk. I'm Jack.
And I'm Amy.
And this week we read A House of Flame and Shadow, and we got thoughts.
We have so many thoughts, so we're not holding back. Spoiler warning, if you have not finished, you do not want to listen to this because we will ruin everything for you.
I mean, and like, we're talking all
everything.
Worlds. All worlds, yeah.
We... Anything SJM
wrote?
Yeah. Anything SJM is on the table.
Except for that one time she did a thing about Catwoman.
Okay. That is off the table.
So Amy and I haven't talked at all about this.
Nope.
All we did was send each other selfies.
We sent selfies with no context.
No. I will say, you broke it immediately.
I did. But it wasn't the type of context I wanted to give.
No, but it was also like within. So I was like, Amy, we got it at like 9:30 on Tuesday night. And I was still finishing up editing the next day's episode. So Monday night, not Tuesday night. Yeah. And I was like, goodbye. Like, you know, I'll talk to you later. Less than 5 minutes later, I think Ariana, whatever the dragon's name is on the cover. And I was like, well, now I know she's about to be in the first chapter.
Yeah, well.
So what are our, starting off with your, initial thoughts?
So one of my initial thoughts, and I think this reflects some listener thoughts as well, is that the book on the surface feels all over the place. But mm-hmm. when I think about SJM's ultimate or final book in any set. So think Wings and Ruin in ACOTAR, think Kingdom of Ash. There are so many threads that have to be tied up that naturally, of course, there's going to be a lot that's going on. And I did not like Wings and Ruin until we analyzed it and then I could appreciate mm-hmm. it for what it was. And I feel like that's going to be the same for Flame and Shadow. I'm not saying I didn't like it, but I did feel I was cognizant of the fact. I'm like, I feel like I'm experiencing a repeat of Wings and Ruin, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I can see how others might dislike that.
Yeah, I was numb. Like, I had such a hangover mm-hmm. the rest of that day and the next day. It was very overwhelming, and I don't want to say underwhelming either. I think what doesn't help is that we had 2 years of thinking about this.
Yeah.
Normally, she puts books out once a year, and I know she rewrote it, and I think sometimes I felt like you could tell she rewrote it.
Oh, interesting.
In the better.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes, I don't want to say for the worse, I do want to point out that there's been a lot of negative feedback I've been seeing out there. A lot of people saying this is like amazing, the best book ever, mm-hmm. and a mm-hmm. lot of people on TikTok that are like 2-star, 1-star, yeah. 3-star. And I do want to point out, kind of like what you're saying about Wings and Ruin, like I said, I've been here from the beginning. I've been here since Mist and Fury. Okay, so not beginning, but like pretty early on. And I remember when Mist and Fury came out, people were pissed off. I remember when Wings and Ruin came out, people were pissed off. I remember when Crescent City 1 came out and people were like, I hate this book. This is a dumb book.
Yep.
And now people are like, this is one of my favorite series. And now it's not. I think everyone's initial reaction is going to be negative.
Right. I think to your point, it's been 2 years. We've had 2 years to theorize.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, people's theories were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people are disappointed or whatever. I loved the fact that I was surprised often.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think SJM did a really, really good job doing something that was believable,
mm-hmm.
but also unexpected at certain points.
I'm really surprised that it picked up so soon. Like, it did not miss a beat. If you think about the events of Hosab,
mm-hmm.
this is only a week.
Yeah.
A week or two. I mean, like, so we know Bryce is in the caves for 5 days. She comes back. She's at her dad's for, call it three.
Yeah.
3 days. So that's just over a week. And then everything happens. We'll call it maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that's being generous.
Yeah.
It's the same issue that people had with Wings and Ruin. It's the same issue you and I had with Wings and Ruin, where things just happen so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that that's something that SJM struggles with a little bit sometimes. I don't know if she struggles with it. Maybe this is a very clear choice and this is just us not preferring it, but she does use, like, she just burns through time like as if like she doesn't have any.
Honestly though, this is the one time I think she made the right choice.
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's like I'm having to sort through my feelings of like what I would have done slash what I would have preferred versus what happened.
Yeah, I think if we really focus on the context of what's going on and the really truly life or death situation that Bryce is in, especially knowing that she has the horn, she can world walk. They don't want to give the Asteri any more time to mobilize or strengthen or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right strategic move. It makes sense to me. So
It makes sense to me, too. I just I'm not a fan.
Yeah. I don't have any negative feelings about it. I don't have any judgment about it.
Yeah. But it comes back to the 2 year plan, like the 2 years of it all. Like, in these 2 years, I just was like, no, I want to see Bryce train. Because that's also, I feel like there was a lot of things that she built up that just didn't happen. And Bryce training is one of them.
But if we think about it, just because I've been rereading Earth and Blood, Bryce doesn't need training. She's been trained for years by Randall. What we expected was training with a sword, right?
Yeah, and training with her magic, like, because Cormac was the one who was teaching her how to winnow.
Right.
Teleport. I think that was, like, one of my initial thoughts was, like, she just kept getting leveled up with power and just knew how to use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was no, like, Cormac kept trying to teach her how to use that magic.
Yeah.
And she kept, like, all of book two was, you don't know how to use it. You don't know how to use it.
That's fair.
And the solution is that she gets more power.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess in my mind, I rationalized it as her difficulty using power in Sky and Breath was because she didn't have enough of it.
Mm.
But that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So that's a fair point.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, to that end, there's quite a few plot holes or plot devices that were.
Can you give me one?
The bean, language bean.
What was it? What was it that I saw online? Someone was like, so no one could give that to Farah to learn how to read?
Exactly. They don't have a reading bean.
Right? Like, where did this magic bean come from? Especially since SJM kind of had an idea when writing Silver Flames.
Yeah.
All I need is a little bean mention.
Yeah. It needed to be used prior to Bryce using it.
Completely.
But, you know, I understand she was in a predicament. So it is what it is. I think what were some of the I can't remember off the top of my head. There were a couple things where I was like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. Or that's a little unrealistic. But they were small. It didn't detract from the story for mm-hmm. me. Can I talk about a different thought I had?
Yeah.
So I have seen negative reactions to how whiny the men are in this book.
Mm.
I actually really enjoyed their fallibility because
100%.
It deconstructs the toxic masculinity and perception that men cannot have feelings.
Yep.
And yes, I don't like Therion. I have not liked Therion from the beginning. This did not endear me to him at all,
mm-hmm.
but he needed to go through that.
Yeah.
And I suspect whatever comes next in Crescent City, because I'm sure there's going to be another book,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be Therion, Ethan.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many strings that she's left untethered that she's going to have to come back and tie up. And I look forward to that book because a lot of the groundwork was done here.
I mean, I think people keep saying, like, I don't look forward to their stories. And, you know, coming back to how people were reacting when everyone found out Nesta was the next book, no one had a good reaction to that. Mm-hmm. Everyone hated Nesta. Mm-hmm. And then she got us all to love her.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you got to trust SJM for doing the emotional work because it's like, you put a character in front of me, you'll teach me to love them. Yeah. I do think that, like, we'll go more into character development later, and I want to touch on it more with Hunt, but I'll hint a little bit now. I loved his emotional struggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we're too hard on these male characters, it's just like, this is why men feel like they can't cry with us.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, if we're harsh on these male characters, then, like, what are we doing
to the men in our lives?
To the men in our lives, subconsciously. Yeah. But before we get into all of that, we have to talk about the big ACOTAR elephant in the room. And that is ACOTAR.
yes. Big ACOTAR elephant. I did not expect, but really, really appreciated how limited exposure mm-hmm. Bryce had to mm-hmm. Prithian. That was definitely the right move. And it was not what I expected. I think she handled it really, really well. I think if you haven't read ACOTAR, you didn't need to have read ACOTAR.
And that's what she wanted to do.
But having read ACOTAR, there's so much content to dissect.
Yeah.
Like Nesta's feelings about being hugged by Ember and all.
Did you read the bonus chapters?
I haven't yet.
I'm going to spoil some for you.
But no. I guess it's fair. I did say all I
gave
everything
you,
is on
I
the
gave con- you the homework.
I know. I didn't have time. Anyway, I do look forward to reading them. I will read them regardless of what you say.
Mm-hmm.
But even just from Bryce's point of view, seeing Nesta's face crumble as Ember's hugging her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My heart.
This is where I have to separate my emotions of what I want from what is good. Yeah. And to your point, what I want was Avenger-style crossover.
Right.
I want them to all get together. I want them to all partner up and, you know, become best friends. That's not what we got. And I know there's so many people who just wanted to, quote unquote, punch Bryce in the face. Bryce doesn't know that they're good guys.
Right.
Bryce doesn't know.
It's realistic.
Yeah. Like, and she doesn't like Faye.
Yeah.
She spent the last two books hating the High Fae.
It's true.
And it's very much like on point with who she is. I would have loved like a whole book of fluff of the two of, like, you know, Bryce with all of them and them mm-hmm. all becoming friends. And it also makes sense that they wouldn't trust her.
Yeah.
I will say, I especially reading the bonus chapter, really didn't like Reese and his reaction. And in the bonus chapter, you get more of the same of, like, him being so, like, you know what? Like, I'd rather kill you than have you threaten our world.
Look, Reese did what Reese does.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yes.
And it is not out of character for him to be this way, especially after his baby has been born.
Mm-hmm.
He almost lost his wife and child.
Mm-hmm.
He almost lost his own life in the process.
Yep.
Of course, he's going to be super, super protective. totally makes sense. What I appreciate is the fact that Reese put in place machinations to test Bryce, and in the process, it bit him in the ass, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And Bryce acted realistically. The shit Reese pulls does not deserve trust.
No, it does not deserve trust. It's also, like, I think what I loved about this and what I loved that it was Nesta that we got.
Yeah.
We didn't get Pharah. We didn't get Cassian. I love that it's Nesta and Azriel. One, she did Azriel because it's like, we're going to get Azriel a lot in the next book.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, I love that it was Nesta because I think this is SJM showing that whoever was going to deal with Bryce had to have more humanity than anyone there.
Yeah.
Because she's the only one who was willing to give Bryce a chance for their world.
Right.
To survive.
Right. Right.
And if I was Nesta, I would hold that over Reese's head until the end of time of being like, hey, mister, I'm better than everyone else. We have to help the underdogs. We have to help them. We're the good guys. Where the fuck were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't want to, like, help them.
Yeah. I appreciate that Nesta and Bryce saw the humanity in each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it could only have been those two characters. And I think that's why a lot of us did predict that they would be besties. They did. They weren't really besties.
But they could have been.
But I think they could have been.
Yes.
If the mistrust was removed.
Yeah.
I think that it was right to pair the both of them. Obviously, from a plot perspective, SJM needed to pair both of them so that the mask could be utilized, so that Bryce knew it existed, so that she could ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Azriel had to be there because she needed Truth Teller. However, I also love that we get to see Nesta post Silver Flames.
Yeah.
We get to see Nesta in Valkyrie peakness.
And we now get the answer of how much of her power she has.
Yeah. A lot more than I thought.
It's funny. Our friend Nicole, she's been reading. She just finished Silver Flames.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was like, so what? Nesta has no power left? And I was like,
I re-listened to Silver Flames. And so right before this book came out. And so when I realized Nesta had power, I kind of reflected back on the mother's role in Silver Flames and how the mother
let her keep some power.
Yeah. Yeah. So it might not be the full extent of her power. She might not be able to make made objects anymore.
Mm-hmm.
However, she still has plenty of power to be a force worth. Like,
I would love explanation on, like, what she lost the ability to do, because she still has the ability to control the objects.
Yes,
and
but she still
has Silver Flames.
It sounds like she has, while she still has the ability to possess the objects, she has less control of herself in the process. Is my interpretation.
Yeah.
I also, like I said, suspect she has less power such that she cannot make a made sword anymore. She can't imbue things with her power anymore.
I mean, that's what we're thinking, but
that's,
we don't.
That's my guess.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like that's a good guess. One of my favorite things that someone pointed out on TikTok is, like, when Nesta has the mask on and she's, like, kind of spiraling and stuff, and Azriel's like, think of your mate. Think of Elaine. Think of Pharah. Think of Nyx. Think of the home. He never mentions Reese.
Well, yeah, of course.
I know, but I just Reese. It's a subtle thing of, like, yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, like, yeah. I did like that. It was Nyx. Nyx was the sticking point for her.
Yeah.
Like, it just shows how much love she must have for her nephew.
Right. I know. That was the one where I was like, oh, that's emotions. Here's my question. I think I was talking about this with Cambria, and I realize I never talked about this with you. There's a moment where they're trying, Nesta, Azriel, and Bryce are trying to get across a cavern, and Azriel can't fly.
Right.
He can winnow, though. That was another test.
Oh, that's a good point. That was one of my plot holes. I'm like, Azriel can winnow.
I am choosing to believe that was another test,
yeah,
because
right.
They made it clear that they're testing her, but I was looking at that, I'm like, he can winnow.
You're right. I will choose to believe that he was testing her because he has winnowed in the past.
Yep.
He winnows often.
It's not a thing SJM would forget.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, so here's a little spoiler for you for not reading the bonus chapters.
Yeah.
I only read the bonus chapters with Ember and Randall, and it's right after Bryce leaves them.
Yeah, I suspected as much.
And Perithian. And then I read the one with Nesta, Azriel, and Bryce in the cave.
Okay.
The one with them in the cave, Nesta asks Bryce to play some of the music.
Oh.
And she, and like, so Bryce plays kind of like that folk duo that she mentions in,
In Earth and Blood.
Earth and Blood. And then, you know, Nesta's like, I didn't even understand, but I could feel it. And then she plays like some of the other music. And then turns out, which it just adds to like, he has a piercing in my mind. Azriel's like a little club rat. That's what Bryce calls him. Like,
oh.
He's into the like EDM, hard rock. Like,
of course he is.
She could like he was kind of like nodding his head to
I love it.
To it. And I was like, this is perfect. I wish like if it was me, I'd be like, Nessa was like, how do you dance to this? I'd be like, Azriel, come here. This is called grinding.
That would have been
Hunt's
great.
Not here right now. He will never know. Question before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
You're Bryce.
Yeah.
We have the music from this world.
Okay.
What is the song, the first song you play to show them what it is? I've been thinking a lot about it, and I have mine.
I'm going to say what first popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
Lavender Haze by Taylor Swift. And I don't know why. That's the first thing that popped into my head, maybe because I listen to it a lot. But I feel like there would be a different song that I would also pick.
I would pick Cardigan.
Okay.
By Taylor Swift. Mainly because I feel like it's just so sad.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing that it's sad.
The other thing I would probably play is something by Muse. I would probably play like Resistance.
That would be for Azriel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or Madness. Ugh, I love Madness. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would give them a sample.
Mm-hmm. She gives him a sample.
Yeah, I
also. But it's like, what's that first one?
Yeah, I feel like Nesta would really like Teenagers by My Chemical Romance.
She really likes classical music.
Yes, she does. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, like when Bryce played her some.
No, I suspected as much since she's a dancer.
So yeah, and then the other one was Ember and Randall after Bryce leaves them there and Perithian, and then like we get a little bit of Rhys there. Such a dick, and Ember. It's like, fuck you. You will not treat me like this. And what I loved about the scene is, like, we get a lot of Ember with... We got to see Ember without Bryce, which is like, oh, now I understand why Bryce is the way she is.
Yeah, yeah. When Ember in the regular book talks about Rhys, I knew in my heart... that she scolded him.
Yeah, she did.
And he had to submit to her. And I cannot wait to read that.
And you get a little bit more of her being protective over Nesta.
Ugh.
And I just was like, okay, cool. So I'm going to cry then.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, SJM, in the next ACOTAR book, you better fucking give me some ACOTAR, some like Crescent City crossover more than this. Like, I just hope she hears our pleas and our cries.
Yeah, I don't...
I want Bryce to holiday over there.
I honestly don't think there's going to be any crossover. There might be mention of Bryce's visit and Bryce's use of the mask and the fact that she gave the Star Sword over.
Yeah, you know what? It was one of those moments where I've heard so many... Kate Golden, when we asked her, hey, why did you write what you wrote? And she said, I was reading... books and I just wasn't getting what I wanted. This was one of those moments where I was like, fine, if I have to make a 3 different series, multiple book arcs just so I can get to the point of a crossover, this is how it's fucking done. I want a crossover.
You could also write a fan fiction
crossover. No, Amy.
That would get you what you want.
No, I want it. I want like the hype of it, you know what I mean? Like the people just like. And again, that would have been catering to the listener, to the readers, but like, you know, cater to me, bitch. Mm-hmm. No, I don't mean to call you a bitch, SJM. That wasn't to you. I apologize. I respect you. But cater to me. So next up, I want us to talk about the ending. And I'm going to call it, which is really hard because like, at what point is the ending? Because the ending just keeps ending. Maybe.
Yeah. To clarify, are you talking about from the moment the black hole is created?
We'll call it the final battle, like going into the final battle.
Okay.
What are your thoughts? Because I think I would have appreciated it to be a little bit more, this is the final battle vibe.
I felt like it had final battle vibes.
It had final battle vibes, but I think I would have appreciated more of a call to arms with everyone. It's not like Bryce could be like, we ride at dawn to everyone, but I would have liked a little bit more of people around Midgard gathering to help. Because the only people who came were the humans. And the Ocean Queen only came to save the twins.
Right. And Hel showed up.
Which we already knew. But like, that's part of it. But I mean, like, when Bryce put out her, dear Midgard, here's what's going on. I really would have liked more people, like the wolves, the other Fae, like more people rallying of like, yeah, fuck the Asteri. I thought Celestina, when she was going to go help or go like try to distract the other angels.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that was such a good moment to have the angels come and help. Mm. You know, like I wanted more. We hate the Asteri. We all want them gone.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's realistic. Because they, and here's why. The angels benefit from the Asteri system.
Yeah, yeah.
So only those who had already shown rebellious nature, a.k.a. those who died during the original rebellion, would rise to arms, in my opinion. I think it also makes sense, if you look at Earth and Blood, everybody goes into the bunkers and tries to shut them early.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen time and time again that this society is selfish,
mm-hmm.
that it's every man for themselves, every man and woman for themselves. And I appreciated that people came to help when the brimstone missiles fell on Asphodel Meadows,
mm-hmm.
right? That was a small act. But we saw even then that not a lot of people showed up.
Yeah.
And I think SJM has proven time and time again that people are comfortable where they're at and don't like to put themselves out there. And so I wasn't surprised. And I actually, I think I, unlike in Deathly Hallows, when I feel like the Slytherins should have joined everyone.
Yeah.
I think the stakes were higher and it was more realistic for less people to show up. I also think it's not in Bryce's nature to ask for everyone to come help. She wanted people to be safe.
Yes. So I agree and understand what you're saying, where it's like, she has proven this is a selfish society. No one's going to come do that. My one comment to that would be, SJM then spent the entirety of Hoseb showing that there's these secret people. Lydia. Braxton. Yeah. You know, like Braxton? Braxton. Baxian. She showed that there are people who you don't expect to be there and supportive. So it's like, okay, fair. You're right. Their armies wouldn't have come. But there's enough, like, I feel like she showed there are those core people within. Yeah. And especially since that's like part of Ethan's story, even was like, you know, hey, there's going to be a few wolves who will do this. No one came.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, you know, they kept, like, Bryce kept saying, like, okay, well, what about the wolves that did help people? What about the people who did open the door? You know, SJM was even having a moment when, what's Flynn's sister, Therian's wife?
Safia.
Even with her, there was an explanation of saying, some of us didn't get a choice.
Yeah.
I thought that was another moment of saying, like, hey, we didn't get a choice. Like, I felt like there was a moment of saying, to your point, sure, I agree. You've convinced me the whole army maybe wouldn't have come. But there was enough seeds to show a little bit of people coming.
Yeah.
And I would have hoped for that. I would also say, I don't know how I feel about the final battle.
I enjoyed it. I thought SJM, honestly, I felt like
it and I'm had, still processing. Like, when I say I don't know how I feel about it, I'm still processing.
Yeah. But I think as a final battle, SJM did a better job in Flame and Shadow than she did in Wings and Ruin.
Okay.
I think that it showed the disorganization and the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I think it showed that we don't fight armies the same way we used to mm-hmm. with people. It's a time and place and everyone's neatly organized, right? Now yeah. it's opportunity-based.
Yeah, true.
I also think that there were a lot of threads to tie up.
Yeah.
And that is why it is written out the way it is, right? She didn't kill Pollux beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
She threw in Lydia's sons being kidnapped. Like, that didn't need to happen, but it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe the final battle would have been more focused and intense if we didn't have the kidnapping to deal with as well.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, kind of back to the point about people not showing up, I got the sense that the antidote for the parasite that Hypaxia created
mm-hmm.
doesn't last forever for a lot of people.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's lasting for Ethan and Hypaxia, but it didn't last for Amelie and her sister.
No, it did.
So it worked, but then when Ethan says goodbye to Perry, he says, oh, the scent that she had that was really intense after she took the antidote is suppressed again.
He didn't say suppressed. He said isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I interpreted that as her kind of hiding something from him. I didn't take that as the power was gone.
Okay.
I took it as maybe that's his mate and we'll find out in the next book type thing. I took it as more a mysterious thing.
Okay.
Than it's being gone. So here is and it kind of comes back down to, and I haven't done a second read. I might have a different opinion or feelings. Because again, I think I don't have opinion. I just have my feelings.
Yeah.
Bryce's power. I felt like this book was just Bryce leveling up, right?
Right.
So she's already super powerful. She gets, not Helena. She gets the first selves of it. In Prithian, she gets leveled up there.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
She
and
gets
then
Selene's power.
Yeah, Selene's power. And then in Avalon, she gets the rest of Thea's power. She just keeps leveling up every single time.
Yeah.
And then Ethan even says something if Bryce got a hand, who knows what her power would be like.
Right.
So we got such an emphasis on Bryce leveling up that I felt her power did not come into play in the final battle beyond her winnowing around and losing power.
I actually really liked it. Because I think it would have been too easy if she'd gotten the antidote and she would basically be godlike in my brain.
And so the antidote part, her not getting it, while I was reading it, I was like, how do I feel about this? You know, I would have liked to see her have that power, but I also get that why Lydia needed it, why Therese, I understand that. But it's just I think I would have liked to see more of her power because if she was battling it out, right, power to power with the Asteri, and then us as a reader being like, damn it, she doesn't have the antidote. Maybe she would have been able to win more.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
More. I felt like the fact that all of her power was drained purely on winnowing.
Yeah.
And then it came. And I'm still okay with the last final blow being the shot. That's fine for me. But I feel like her power just never was of use beyond winnowing for that last moment.
Right, right. I mean, I guess I interpreted it as she used so much power to slay Polaris with the Star Sword. She had to use so much power to utilize Truth Teller and the Star Sword.
But does that take power? Or is it just holding it together?
I think it does take power.
Yeah.
I think because it takes her power combined with Hunt's power to make it happen.
Yeah.
That was my interpretation. And she didn't have enough of that power to do it four more times or however many more times.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really, really enjoyed the parallel of using the Godslayer rifle.
Oh, I
thought
huge
that was
fan.
Great.
Yeah, I thought it was a good ending for that one.
And I what I liked about it was that at the end of the day, Bryce is human, and she had to rely on her human skills
mm-hmm.
to win the day.
And I'm on board with that. A human skills, human equipment, the soul, is what saves the day. still on board with it.
You just needed more
power. Yeah, I just was like, I just felt like there was such a buildup to all of her power.
Yeah, it's fair.
And for it to be, I'm holding a sword together, I needed an explosion of light. I needed a, you know, like, I needed one scene of
eruption.
Of like maybe her defending someone.
Yeah.
I needed more explanation as to why she got drained beyond winnowing.
Yeah, that's,
yeah.
You've brought me around.
Thank you.
I agree.
Yeah.
I do think it would be more believable had she erupted with power in a way that melted a bunch of the mech suits.
Something, and then, like, she, I mean,
and then she misjudged and she used too much.
Exactly.
Of it.
She went to go save Hunt or Rune or someone, right. And then just, like, poo poo in something. But, like, that was, like, probably my biggest moment of, like, I was like, you just got weight. Like, your power was just wasted on hopping around. And, like, the her taking on the other Asteri, I can see that taking power. But, like, I again, like, give me the theatrics, SJM. Like, this is what we're here for. But to what you also said earlier, her using the Godslayer gun, chef's kiss. Like, that was fan-freaking-tastic.
Yep.
That was a wonderful parallel to the first one book.
Yeah, I really, really, really cannot overstate how much I enjoyed that. I also want to say, so I think I said this to you, Jack. I didn't cry as much in Flame and Shadow as I did Earth and Blood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I cried. And every time I reread it, I cry a ton.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much time spent crying. However, the emotions I felt when Jessica gave up her life for Bryce.
That was when I lost it.
That's when I lost it.
Yeah.
Of just, and how, even though SJM laid the groundwork for it, and I see that, it still caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved is Bryce actually did die.
Yeah.
But ultimately, right, Jessica gave up her life, which fits her character. And then seeing Danica and La Haba
was, Danica, I'm like, we've already been there, done that, saw you.
Yeah.
La Haba, I lost it all over again. Yeah. I was like just hyperventilating with tears. It's, you know, I'm happy you brought in the death because I can't believe we didn't even like talk about that. So many people have issues with that because it's like, once again, a character comes back to life because Rhys died too.
Right.
Now, and then the same way that Amryn gave a part of herself to save Rhys.
Yeah.
Same way that like Jessica. No, and the thing is, it's like, I'm okay with it. It's still dramatic.
Yeah, I think that what differentiates it for me is that a death was traded for another death.
Yes.
Whereas no one had to die to revive
Rhys
or Feyre.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Amryn had to die, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a true death.
Because
even like
death.
Amryn trading in her powers was still like Amryn living.
Right, exactly. Jessica had to die in order for, like, it was a true exchange.
Yeah, and that's where, like, people are upset that, like, Bryce lived, but I'm like, but Jessica died.
Right.
Like, we still got a death.
We still got a death.
I personally would have been pro a lot more characters dying.
I agree.
Therion, Ethan, Hypaxia. I'm willing to sacrifice his characters.
Yeah, Isaiah could have died.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, Naomi, something. A little bit more casualties.
A Prince of Hell.
Would have been lovely for a Prince of Hell to die.
Yeah, I think she could have killed even more secondary characters.
Yeah.
Because
the only death we got was
Jessica. Yeah.
And in some ways, Cormac, because I was still in denial that he was dead.
Everyone was in
denial. I was like,
well,
he's back, right? Where is he?
I actually really, 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 really loved that Rune killed his father.
Same.
I did not expect that.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely expected the Autumn King to get off easy.
Yeah. Well, I love that, like, yours and my, like, as I was reading this, I was like, Amy and I have a horrible sense of who's good and who's bad.
Yeah. Well,
the Viper Queen. Was,
yeah. Well, we thought they were morally gray. So what SJM has taught us is that her morally gray characters have good intentions. And this is the first time.
Yeah.
I would say that these were truly morally gray with bad intention characters.
I don't know. I'm not saying no. I'm saying I don't know. There was just emphasis on the no. I'm not sure because I am, again, I need to go through the reread of it all. I really felt like SJM was setting up the Autumn King to be morally gray.
Yeah.
He was never gray. He was just bad the whole time.
Yeah.
Gray implies some good, and he didn't do anything. And and that's one of those things where, like, I want to know her brain more because it's either A, she was setting it up and changed her mind.
Yeah.
Or B, we were all in denial. I felt like the clues were there that he was going to be a secret, not horrible character.
Yeah, I genuinely did think he wasn't going to die. And I do wonder if that was a change in the rewrite.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking about what made him morally gray. And I'm realizing that the only reason why we thought he might be morally gray is because he had regret about Ember and showed affection for Ember and Bryce in his own way. And you can be evil and still love people.
Yes, yes.
So was he really morally gray?
Well, I think we were also, all of his research into light.
Yeah.
All of his, like, you know, looking into the planets mm-hmm. was for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like another part where I felt like things fizzled out where it was like either we as readers, I'll call it like the Taylor Swift effect. Like there's so many times like someone's like, she's going to release an album on this day because this is what it actually means and represents. I think as Taylor Swift fans, like we all know we're clowns at this point. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, mm-hmm. we overanalyze. It's hard to do that with SJM.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, so was the Autumn King, his only purpose was to link Reese's same thing that he has, whatever it's called, the planetarium, solarium thing. Like
Orrery,
thank you. And like, was that his only purpose? Or was there emphasis? Because it's like nothing came from all those things.
Well, Bryce does have an epiphany about her light from his experiments.
True, true.
And it's not the grand follow through that we might expect from SJM.
Yeah.
But I think I appreciate that not everything has to have grand follow through. I mean, when it comes to writing, we don't want to put something on the page unless it serves a purpose, which I understand. I also like that he didn't really have a part in her success.
Yeah. Yes, I think we can be, I think we can have those sentiments knowing that he's truly evil.
Yeah.
Had he not been truly evil, we would have been fine him having a part of
right.
her success.
Right.
You know, like, you know, once we realized, yes, you are actually a horrible piece of shit.
Right.
But even when he had her locked into the house, I still felt like eventually I was like, oh shit, he really is locking her in. But at first it still felt like a little, what are we doing here with this? And again, like, this is where I really, really wish I knew, like, what was part of the rewrite?
Yeah.
And what was always the game plan?
Yeah, I agree with you that I still had hope for him to come around early in the lock-in.
Yeah.
But I appreciate knowing just how obsessive he was about light, so mm-hmm. much so that he decided to abuse his child.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't deserve a part in the narrative.
Yes, I agree. If SJM had just made that there, where it's like, why are you giving me these things? Like, are you trying to keep me on my toes as a reader? That's my thing where it's like, and again, like, I understand the whole thing. Like, you don't want this, like, maniacal, I'm twirling my mustache character. But what was the point of all these things where it's like, Bryce knew he was always evil. Like, Bryce mm-hmm. never had a moment of, like, she never wavered on him once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I felt like SJM was trying to get us to waver as a reader often.
I think, I wonder to what extent it was she wanted us to question Bryce's mm-hmm. attitude towards her father. I don't know. I don't, what I liked about it was that the male hierarchy, the patriarchy is corrupt.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and, no. Fuck the patriarchy. Burn it down.
If you absolve her father
yeah.
of anything.
Yeah.
If you give him any iota,
mm-hmm.
the message of the old system has to be done away with.
Yeah.
Kind of falls short.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was never going to see the error of his ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all messy. It's all messy. And then there's so many things where it's like, I just want to know what was in her mind.
Yeah.
What doing it. And that's part of the Autumn King. Bringing down the patriarchy, never being able to move forward without him. Oh, yeah, I can totally see that. Stop giving me those glimmer of hopes. And then the same thing with like other moments of like where I think my again, it's not frustration. It's more of like I'm coping.
Yeah, that's fair.
Of it. Even other lines like, well, let's come back to Ethan and Sigrid. Mm-hmm. Siegfried and Roy.
Sigrid.
What was that?
I see.
Which is all set up for the next book.
I really, really, really enjoyed the letdown of Sigrid. Really enjoyed it. I actually really, really enjoyed every letdown SJM had in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I love about it is it's so different from ACOTAR. Because not everything works out perfectly the way the main characters want to.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a more realistic perspective on good versus evil. Because there were so many things like, what if Bryce could get the antidote? What if all these things, right? And SJM makes us hope and then disappoints us. It makes us hope and disappoints us. And makes us, and that roller coaster, I think for me was just a ton of fun.
Yeah. I don't know if I was like what I'm trying to like analyze, like where are my emotions? Where it's like her turning out to be evil, I felt like it was a more of a commentary on like the Fendir line.
Yeah.
And like the same way that Bryce has to dismantle the Fae line is the same way that the Fendir line had to be dismantled. So like, okay, like Sigrid being evil, like I'm okay with that. But I'm like, but where is my...
I don't even see her as evil. I see her as she's been trapped her entire life. And she doesn't know good from evil. She just knows survival.
No, I'd call her evil. I'd call her evil.
I mean, now she's a reaper, so yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, I'd call her evil. Like, now that she's a reaper. But I know, and that's where I will say, I feel like there were a lot more loose ends in this book than there were in Wings and Ruin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's part of the reason why people are frustrated.
Mm, yeah.
Because
they expected a nice, neat package.
Yes and no. I don't want to, like, shame the concept of a nice, neat package.
No.
But, like, I think that you can't have an end of a series. And again, this is, like, and I know she says that there's another one coming on. But it just felt so open-ended in some parts.
Yeah, I think the 2-year wait, and for so long this was messaged as the last book, I can see that frustration. And I don't feel like Sigrid needed to continue on. She could have been killed. Like, there are certain things that didn't have to be loose threads, I think. But I understand people's frustration with it. I think it felt more like the third of a 4-book series than it did a third of a 3-book series with an extra book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it didn't have the finality I think a lot of people expected. And I understand that. And I can see that frustration.
I will compare it to Wings and Ruin, where we have Vasa. We have the queens. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things at the end of Wings and Ruin that we were like, oh, we don't have an answer to. But we didn't have that intimate POV with them.
Right.
And that, I think, was easier for us to be able to say, like, later us can deal with it.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, we spent so much time on these characters to then have it be, like,
Unresolved.
Yeah. I think that is, like, probably the hardest part, where I'm okay with unresolved things, but a good chunk of it was spent on something to be unresolved. And again, like, I'm okay with it not being unresolved. I'm okay with Ethan and Therian being the next characters, because, like, I'm sure she'll win me over. But like,
I see what you're saying, because yeah. Wings and Ruin wrapped up, and it that series up until that point had just been Feyre's Perspective and sometimes Rhys.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that's a nice and neat package. Silver Flames is just Cassian and Nesta's point of view. That's a nice and neat package. Yep. For Rune, Lydia, Bryce, and Hunt, it's a nice, neat package.
Yes.
For everyone else, fuck you.
Yeah.
And I can see how that's really dissatisfying.
And it's like, but again, like, I can be swayed. You know, like, I can have, you know, I'm sure maybe I'll feel different in the reread. Maybe I'll feel different. I know next year when we do the analysis on this, we'll have, like, different opinions by then, I'm sure. There's other characters that I'm going to, like, hint on real fast. Fury. I know people are frustrated with the lack of Fury, especially the buildup. I would have loved to see her in battle.
Yeah.
Another great character to kill off.
Yeah.
And then have a devastated Juniper.
Yeah.
On board with that.
Yep. I completely agree.
You know, and like that was another character wasted. Baxian. Another one where we just kind of like build up. And then we spend so much time with him in the dungeons.
Yeah.
And then goodbye.
Yeah.
Also, what were your reactions to the hand biting scene?
Oh my gosh. The entire time during the hand biting scene, I was thinking, SGM's editor told her to make it tamer.
I know.
So there is something worse than this. And all I could think is, what could be worse than this?
I loved the hand because I felt like the hand was almost going to be like a representation of Rune's punishment, because none of that would have happened if Rune had not been so prideful and talked to Lydia, mind to mind.
Yeah.
Because then she would have told him, I'm going to save you soon.
Yeah.
Hold out.
Yeah.
We're so close. I loved how pointless that was.
Yes.
I love that too. It was like dramatic for the sake of being dramatic.
Yeah.
In my mind, Rune's like, let it heal the old fashioned way because that will be my punishment. You know what I mean? Like when that was, I don't know why I thought it was funny. I just was giggling. It just was so messed up. I was like, this is so fucked.
I do think everything to do with the dungeons and the torture was very well done.
Perfect. I thought it was the comedy of it, the like loss of it, the cringy of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved the dungeon scenes.
It was devastating. It was funny. It was traumatic.
I was ready to dislike them. I was ready to be bored and want to like move along.
It was so good.
Yeah. I really liked how she did the dungeon scenes.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so I'm going to get into some general listener. We asked you guys.
And we have hundreds of responses.
So many responses.
We might have to do a second episode.
Genuinely. I'm going to have to screenshot all these. So I'm not going to be able to read all of these, but like, I'm going to give you just general sentiments here. Let's talk about Lydia.
I fucking love Lydia. And I've loved Lydia before anybody loved Lydia, I think. In Sky and Breath, I was in love with her.
Yeah.
Because I figured out really early that she was Daybright.
Yeah.
And
I couldn't figure it out, but once I was like, oh, you're Daybright, I'm on board.
I really appreciate her character. I was shocked that she had children.
I thought that was an amazing plot twist. I know some people are going to have issues that the moment she's redeemed is when she's because a mother.
She was redeemed in my eyes without the children.
Well, I think people are going to have issues that she didn't choose good until motherhood.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair, but I liked her anyway.
Oh, I agree. I love Lydia.
And I'm a
big fucking fan.
I did really, really enjoy the Rune and Lydia's relationship progression. I thought it was really, really well done. I really loved that Rune bought her an apartment and he's finally moving out of his shitty houses.
And then to move in underneath Bryce.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I was not a fan of Rune shooting her in the leg. I understand why he logically quote unquote thought that that's what he needed to do. I don't like how quickly, I mean, it's wartime. You're going to have a lot of emotions, you know, forgive quickly, shoot quickly, forgive quickly. But yeah, I was like, was that needed?
What I think I see in SJM's men, and I'm already seeing this in Hunt in Earth and Blood in the next episode we're going to record, when it's when the woman in question is their mate, they do not hold back in terms of protection. Like, they will do whatever it takes to make sure that person lives. And it makes sense to me. So did I like him shooting her in the leg? Obviously not. But it made sense.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, I understand why people, because these are things I've seen online of, like, people just not being okay with him shooting, but also with her forgiving him so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like violence on women to immediately be forgiven.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That is a problem.
You know, it's amazing how quickly my brain can turn that off. But, you know, I mean, it's another moment of, like, violence against women for the sake of their protection.
Yeah, yeah, which is the wrong message.
I feel like there's another way to have accomplished that one. But I do, how about the fact that we now can confirm Lydia is descended of Valen?
I love it.
Yep.
Love it yep. so much.
Descendant of Brannon. That's like, I just yeah. want to confirm the ring that she had is the same ring from Throne of Glass, the ruby ring. The fact that she's a stag and she's fire.
Yeah. yeah.
And she also said that she named her son Brannon.
After King Brannon.
After King Brannon.
I love it.
Yeah. People are like, okay, so we know that Throne of Glass is set 50,000 years ago.
Is it the same ruby ring yeah. that Aelin has?
Yeah. It's described the exact same way.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, but people theorize that Throne of Glass was a past.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm, you know, I'm all for, like, time travel, time jumping, you know, that's not beyond my, like, stickler of mm-hmm. feelings. But yeah, Lydia was one of my absolute favorites. Let's see, other comments, Rune's frat boyness being grown up. A lot of people being just kind of like all over the, like, feeling like the book was all over the place. Mm-hmm. You and I talked about that. That's what you get when you have multiple POVs, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's just like, give me a book that doesn't have that feeling where you're in the middle of a climax.
And you have multiple points of view.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me, obviously, because all I consumed for the longest time was only multi-POV fantasy mm-hmm. books. Mm-hmm. So for me, it wasn't off-putting, but that's because I'm used to it. And I think if you're not used to it, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't bug me as much because of Throne of Glass. Mm-hmm. But I understand where it's like, you know, like, and then this happens. But, like, you know, such is the life of multiple POV. Someone just commented, so Victoria the Wraith is still floating around on a box.
I know. I thought about that, too. I'm really, really sad for her.
I know.
I really hope they fish her out of the Istros
yeah.
in their new world.
Oh, two moments that, like, you and I got real wrong.
Yeah.
Was Isaiah being good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Shahar being good.
I know. I was just thinking about that. I actually cried when Shahar took over the mech suit and helped Hunt save
yeah.
Bryce.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really, really beautiful moment.
Completely. It was beautiful. And it was a lot of like, well, I got that one wrong.
Yeah. Wow. Which I love that I got it wrong.
Me too. Me too. Okay, so unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up. There's so many comments. I think you're right. I think we just do an episode where we yep. go through everyone's comments. I'll have to screenshot these. And there's just so many, like, people are...
There are lots of feelings.
There's a lot of feelings. And, you know, we're still coping with our feelings.
I mean, I genuinely walked away being like, I enjoyed this. Is it my favorite SJM book ever? No, it is not. Do I think it has flaws? Yes, but every book she's written has flaws. Yeah. Every book that's ever been written has flaws. Doesn't matter who the author is. Did I enjoy the ride? Fuck mm-hmm. yeah, I did. And
yeah.
I'm already re-listening to it, and I'm genuinely still enjoying it. And I think that I will love it once we analyze it.
Yeah.
But regardless of what people's feelings are, I think we have to remember that this is SJM's world.
Yep.
This is SJM's.
We're just living in it.
We're just, yeah, we're along for the ride, and she gets to do whatever she wants to do. And that's okay.
Yeah. Overall, I did walk away thinking that I have a feeling, like, there were moments where I was like, I think this is one of her tightest books.
Oh, yeah.
And I know people are like, you know, nothing happened. I'm like, I don't agree. I think this is, like, one of her better written, tighter books,
yeah.
even with all the things that I brought up. And I know that there's no ending she would have given us that we would have been okay with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every fandom has a little bit of toxicity in it. Look at Star Wars. Look
Harry at Potter.
Harry Potter. We all have a little toxicity in us.
Mm-hmm.
But not everyone is ever going to be happy with the product, right? Yeah.
So can how we as readers need to put aside what our expectations are and what would make us happy versus what happened and does that make sense with what happened?
Well, and just appreciating the art for what it is.
Yeah.
And I do think once Crescent City is done forever, we'll be able to look back in hindsight and be like, wow, that was really, really good. And I think one more thought on this book. I think what it achieves that Sky and Breath and Earth and Blood did not is it doesn't meander.
Yep. Yep.
There's a purpose and the purpose is clear to the reader at every moment. And I think that's probably SJM did intentionally given the context, but also probably feedback from Earth and Blood and Sky and Breath.
Yep.
I think she did her best, and I appreciate her best.
I appreciate her best. I think the more time people have on it, they'll appreciate it too.
Yeah.
I know I will. Like, no matter what, there was going to be a lot of emotions.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Like, I think we're all just kind of coping through our emotions of it and being like, okay, let's take a beat, let's process. And then, you know, it's fine. You guys, if you don't like it, stick around next year. We'll do analysis of it and we'll make you like it.
We made you like ACOTAR.
Right? As if people came to it hating it.
I mean, some people come to...
The first book.
The first book, sorry. Yeah. Some people come to Thorns and Roses and they're like, this is the worst book in the series. And then we make them love it.
Yes, it's true.
Thorns and Roses is my favorite book.
Absolutely.
In that series.
Absolutely.
So...
All right. Stick around for when we do this again and we talk about all of your notes. Because, like, we haven't even gotten into... Some people think Bryce's personality changed at the end. I disagree. Like,
I disagree.
We didn't even get into Hunt and his journey and his coping. So, yeah, we'll just have to definitely do another one.
So, stick around.
Stick around. Bye. Thank you for listening to this mini episode of Book Talk for Book Talk. We encourage you to rate and subscribe to our show on your preferred podcast listening platform.
We would love to hear your thoughts based on today's conversation. You can submit your comments to our form at booktalkforbooktalk.com or via our Camflare voicemail system. Please visit booktalkforbooktalk.com for more information.
You can also follow us on TikTok or Instagram at the handle booktalkforbooktalk. Bye!